in the interest of associating some famous classical melodies with the song titles and the composers that wrote them, I'm going to shamelessly rip off kickassclassical.com and play through their list of the top 100 classical melodies of all time and tell you who wrote them, what the name of the thing is, and hopefully by the end of this we can associate some melodies with some people and or names in a way that we previously were not able to, because basically every single piece of music ever written is a name that cannot be remembered prior to like 1915. It's all Symphony No. 9, Movement No. 2, shit like that, and it's almost impossible to remember that stuff. Or at least I find it almost impossible to remember that stuff. You know, I can remember, I know what Symphony No. 9 is, that was a bad example. Whatever, let's move on. So, 100 melodies. I'm gonna go through them in the order sorted by composer, not by the order of the popularity. Like, for instance, if I sort by popularity, what is number 1 on this? Symphony No. 5. So, like, just in case you were curious, the number 1 melody of all time, according to this website, is Beethoven. It's the first movement of Symphony No. 5, and it sounds like this. It was written in 1808, and here's something that will last you the rest of your life. 1808! 1808! Anyway, whatever. But I'm going to sort by composer. So the first one is an A name, then a bunch of B names. And the first one is Arnaud with Bugler's Dream, 1958. It's a fanfare from 1958 by Arnaud. Now it's associated with the Olympics. John Williams actually retooled it in 1984 by Arnaud. And that's, it looks like Arnaud, A-U-D, but it's, you know, French. Anyway, hey, look, Bach. We know that guy. 1707. Toccata and Fugue in D minor. There's another part of Toccata and Fugue that comes after that first opening little chord, like organ riff, that you would also recognize, and that's the part that is playing in The Aviator when Leonardo DiCaprio is test flying that first plane. It's this wonderful, like a toccata, I think, is a piece of music where the melody kind of always repeats itself, that sort of thing. And that kind of comes after this first little intro bit where it's like sort of thing. Now, moving on, still Bach. Brore. I have no idea how French works. So B-O-U-R-R-E-E. Boire, I think, in E minor. It's a piece for guitar written in 1717. Bach. Boire in E minor. One thing, the crappy cultural touchstone I have for that song is that it's in Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny, and they do it, and it's hilarious. Whatever. Also by Bach, Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, First Movement. This is 1721 that we're talking about. Brandenburg's Concerto No. 3, First Movement. Now, damn near everybody on this list has a minuet in G, it seems like, but here's Bach's minuet in G from 1725. A few years before that, in 1719, Bach wrote Cello Suite No. 1. And our final two Bach pieces on this list, and if you're looking at a list of the top 100 classical melodies of all time and you have like 8 of them, congratulations. This applies to Bach and Beethoven and a couple of other guys, but the last two from Bach both happened in the same year. Good year. Cantata 147. Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. And the last one from Bach, same year, 1723. This is a pretty one. Air on the G string. I if I'm not mistaken, I could be totally mistaken, my cultural touchstone for that, I think that's the song that's playing in 7 when Somerset's doing his library research and the security guards are playing poker. Anyway, everyone say bye, Bach. Bye, Bach. Moving on. Barber. Only has one song on this, which, shut up, that's better than you can do. Adagio for Strings, 1936. Barber. Oh, there's a little piece of info on here. This is cool. Samuel Barber, American composer, 1910 to 1981, died the year Britney Spears was born. Lose one musical genius, gain another. Anyway, this was played at the funerals of Princess Grace of Monaco and Albert Einstein. Huh. And also, it shows up in slow motion scenes in Platoon. And then it was parodied in other movies because of the thing in Platoon. And it's in Amelie. Whatever. Moving on. Hey! Beethoven! So Beethoven's here now. We're going to listen to some Beethoven stuff. Starting with the second movement of the Ninth Symphony. And we've also got Beethoven's Minuet in G. Bach had a Minuet in G. It sounded like this. Right? Beethoven's Minuet in G is this one. That's nice, Beethoven. That's real nice. Anyway, so also, you got Beethoven's 7th Symphony, 2nd movement. This is in 1812 he writes this. The blurb on Kick-Ass Classical says that Beethoven's music can be summed up in one word, which is moody, and is considered the world's most important composer because he moved music from the classical to the romantic composition styles, and he was deaf by the time he finished his 5th symphony. Fun. Anyway, we've got some more Beethovens on here. So this one, I think, would actually be pronounced for Elise if we were saying it in English, but in 1810, this German dude called it Für Elise. La, 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 la. In 1810. Bum, 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 bum. This song was written in 1810. And we've also got from the Ninth Symphony. His Ninth Symphony's got all kinds of stuff in it. Ninth Symphony also contains this one, remember? Yeah, the part you probably know better is the movement that is now called Ode to Joy. It's the 4th and final movement of the Ninth Symphony, and it's often referred to as a symphony within a symphony, etc., etc., so on and so forth. I'm just ripping off their little blurbs. For his 5th symphony, you'll know this. This is Beethoven's 5th symphony. Make a V with your fingers. 1808. 1808. And our last Beethoven, 1801, for the piano, Moonlight Sonata. Say bye, Beethoven. And now, we're going to move on to a bunch of, like, people who have one or two or three. All great, but, you know, if you have the top 100, it's got to be the top 100. Let's move on. Bizet! And Bizet is on this list twice for one reason. Bizet wrote the music in Carmen. And Carmen has a bunch of great themes, including this one, which is called Habanera. You'll recognize it the second you hear it. 1875. This is Habanera from Carmen by Bizet. And then, from Carmen's Suite No. 1, that's from Carmen's Suite No. 2 that we just played, from Carmen's Suite No. 1, there's also this one. And it also ends up being used as the theme for the Bad News Bears, if you want to play that game, but whatever. It's less Toradoros, and it sounds like this. L-E-S, like Les, like Les Miserables, and then Toreador, T-O-R-E-A-D-O-R-S. I don't know French! All right, moving on. Hey, Boccherini's here. We're just going to give him one. It's the 41st best melody ever, Boccherini, so you could have done better. And here it's just called Minuet, which is useless, because a minuet is a type, not a name. But I think I've mostly heard this one referred to as the celebrated minuet. Like, when you call it a thing, you call it the celebrated minuet. 1771, you'll also recognize this the second you hear it, from Boccherini, the celebrated minuet. Sorry, Boccherini, we're out. Peace! Brahms! Hey, Brahms is here. Let's do two Brahmses. First, because it's fun, Hungarian Dance No. 5 from Brahms. 1869, he wrote this. Hungarian Dance No. 5. Oh, and you know what? Funny about Brahms, he also wrote one other one, and you're going to go, hey, that! And indeed that. 1868, he wrote a thing that he called Lullaby. All right, let's do this. Moving out of B's, coming into C's. Chopin! I like it. I think of Chopin as like Leroy Jenkins. Chopin Jenkins! Oh. Maybe that's not the right mood for Chopin then. Shit. Yeah, Chopin wrote the Funeral March. Landed him spot number 38 on the top 100. Way to go, baby. Moving on. Oh, yay. All right, we're moving into the 40s. 1940s, folks. We're moving to America. Because Aaron Copland's here. Fanfare for the Common Man. Fanfare for the Common Man. And, all right, that is great. Way to go, Copland. But the thing we kind of more associate with him, or at least I do, is this shit, Rodeo Hoedown. I love that piece. Oh, the counterpoint is so cool. All right, anyway, thank you, Copland. That was great. Those are both from 1942, by the way. Mr. Copland, thank you. Now, Debussy. All right? Considered one of the most important French composers, his work helped to move classical music from the Romantic period to the modern period. So inasmuch as Beethoven moved us from classical to romantic, Debussy took that shit and moved it into the modern world with a tune that you'll recognize because it's beautiful. It's got a bunch of names. Sweet Bergman-esque is where it's from, and I generally think of this as being called Clair de Lune. 1905. Now, here's a name that I didn't know. I'll know the, you know the pieces, but I didn't know the name. This is Delib, D-E-L-I-B-E-S. His last name is Delib. And this first one is called Flower Duet from 1882. Flower Duet, Delib. And there's one other Delib on here. Delib's on here twice. Debussy got on there once. That's funny. Anyway, Delib's second melody on here is number 93, but it made the list in 1876. Delib, Pizzicato. Might be the easiest song title to remember of all time. Moving on, bye Delib. And we're moving on to Ducas, French guy, and Dukat made the list, position number 31, with a tune you're going to go, hey! It's The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Hi, Dukat. 1897, he wrote that. That's great. Oh, yay, cool. And Dvorak, just barely sliding on this list. That's crazy to me. He only has one entry on this list, but Dvorak's 99 on the list. His melody from Symphony No. 9, the 4th movement. 1893. Dvorak's 9th Symphony, 4th movement. Well done. Moving on to the E's. In fact, there's only one E. In fact, do you know who the E is? Last name. Come on. Classical composer. Elgar. It's Elgar. You damn fool. And he's on this list, position number 15, for Pomp and Circumstance. Self-taught, by the way. British guy. And what's interesting is, if I recall correctly, I think I learned at one point that Pomp and Circumstance is meant to be sarcastic. It's about, its usage in the storyline that it was written for was that the rich aloof people send the kids to war, and the aloof people talk about how noble and wonderful it is that they're going to these, you know, high esteem wars and shit like that, and they're sending kids off to just be, like, slaughtered, and the sort of, like, over the top, how fancy and important and noble and, it's all great, this sounds, is meant to be a sarcastic indictment of the fact that they're out of touch with the murder that they're causing. But now we just use it because it sounds super noble and sort of like lost the original sarcastic intent of it. All right, now, there's one F. I'm going to double check the pronunciation here. Fuchik, you dirty kid. Czech military orchestra conductor, 1872 to 1916. And Fuchik is on this list for one of his melodies, 29th on the list. Way to go, Fuchik. 1897, Entry of the Gladiators. Entry of the Gladiators. What a weird name for that. You'd think it'd be called Entry of the Clowns, but nope. And we got some G's. Let's do some G's. In fact, there's basically two G's, and you should be able to guess both of them. And the first one, just by way of alphabetical, number 21 on this list. And bear in mind, I'm not going in order, like I said, but it is the 21st. Most best melodies ever. It is from 1924, and it's by George Gershwin, and it's Rhapsody in Blue. The hell? That is not the part of Rhapsody in Blue people are going to remember, website. Here, hold on. YouTubing it. One second. Don't move. Just sit still. Rhapsody in Blue? There's that Rhapsody in Blue shit people know. Nice. All right, everyone say bye to Gershwin. Love ya, moving on. And now, because Peer Gynt exists, what is it, Edvard or Edgar? What is it, Grieg? Edvard Grieg. 1843 to 1907. Norwegian dude, and boy, you'll know all these. Grieg, in the Hall of the Mountain King. Dun 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 dun. Yep, Peer Gynt. In the Hall of the Mountain King. He also has Morning Mood, also from Peer Gynt. These songs are from 1875. And also unrelated to Peer Gynt, but also by Edvard Grieg, Piano Concerto. Let's move on to some Baroque shit, like you don't know shit. Hey, Handel's here. They handle. Solomon. Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. Almost 1750, he wrote that, like way late. 1748. Now, in 1717, he wrote water music a la hornpipe. But if you really want to get a handle on Handel, you know it. I know it. 1741. I'm not even going to tell you the name. It's by Handel. It's by Handel. Moving on. All right. Hey, Holst is here. Fuck yeah. Natalie Portman is a dude. 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 Ba 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 ba. Yeah, that was Gustav Holst. With, from the planet suite, Mars, the bringer of war. I have that symphony in my car, in my CD player at most times. Yay. Bye, Holst. That was written in 1916. He went on to kind of loathe the planet suite, by the way, because he thought he wrote a lot of better music and everyone just likes the planet suite. Anyway, moving on. This is really recent. This is from 1996. Number 71 on the list. Wow. All right, let's hear it. It's by Jenkins, and it's called Palladio. Wow, really? Born in Wales, trained in England, this modern-day composer started with the 70s jazz fusion band Soft Machine, but he's famous for a series of Ademus compositions and this, Palladio, from the A Diamond Is Forever, De Beers TV commercials, with the silhouettes. The comparative mathematical proportionality of the measurements in context of the overall composition is totally off the chain, bro. Silent Nick released a house version of this piece in 2002. That's Carl Jenkins from the De Beers commercials. Wow. Huh. It is a great piece. 71. Crazy. That came in before Mars on this list. Crazy kids. All right, whatever. How the hell do you say that guy's name? This is Khachaturian, Aram Khachaturian, 1903 to 1978 from Armenia. This hyperactive piece calls to mind circuses, acrobats, magic shows, juggling, trapeze artists, and plate spinning. It's very cartoony, and it's called Saber Dance. Bye, Khachaturian. All right, so let's get out of these K's and move on to the L's. There's only actually one guy in the L's. It's Franz Liszt. This Hungarian virtuoso pianist and composer was the world's first rock star, famous worldwide for his live performances. Anyway, Liszt wrote a couple of numbers on this. One of them is Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2. I think of this as Dueling Pianos from Roger Rabbit, where it's Daffy Duck and Donald Duck. And Donald Duck calls the other one an N-word. It's fun. Snopes, moving on. And also, Liebestraum, number 3. That's, if you want to just say that in English, let's do that in English. Liszt's other famous song is called Dreams of Love. Let's move on. So, Mendelssohn. Perhaps the greatest child prodigy after Mozart, Mendelssohn began taking piano lessons at 6, made his first public concert at 9, published his first composition at 13, and wrote his first symphony, Symphonie, at 15. You know him for this. It's called Wedding March. It's from Midsummer Night's Dream, written in 1842. Okay, so now we're going to get into some M's. And before we get into the main M, who has, let's count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on this list. A tenth of the list is from another M that we'll get to in a second. First, we have to hit Murray. Murray. We have to park. All right, so, Rondo. This is the theme of Masterpiece Theater. And it's called Rondo by Murray. Okay, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. All right. You know what? Let's hit... There's one other one-off guy in the M's. Let's go... I'm going to skip the main M guy and come back. So let's hit him real quick. The 40th place on this list goes to Musorgi. Actually, I'm told now that it is Musorgi. Whatever. But he wrote this one. Musorgsky. Is that how it's pronounced? And yeah, that's the, like, scary thing in Fantasia. Musorgsky wrote that in, when did he write this? 1867. Okay, all right, we're good. Okay, so. Mozart. This is number 3 on the list. Anna Klein, Nachtmusik. And what's funny is, I once heard an arrangement of this song put to lyrics. And I can do that song for 4 minutes, but I won't. But it kind of starts like this. If in tunes it's something hot you seek, try some Nachtmusik. Mozart, when he was just a child, was really kind of wild. He was a prodigy, and he was always thinking of Clinton or symphony. Mozart, was he rare, none compare, had a flair, didn't care for TDM. So he wrote so many notes that some composers who were average thought him dumb. But he didn't mind, because he wasn't kind. They just could not see that he was more than they could be. Whatever, you get the idea. That's Anna Klein. 1787. So that song is newer than America. Who knew? All right, that's the first of 10 Mozarts. This one, you're going to recognize it. You wouldn't be able to name it if you had to. Why? Because it's called one of these damn song names, like they're all called. It's Piano Sonata number 16. 1788. In the first movement of Mozart's 40th symphony. Movement number 1. Now this one, this gets me to my core. This is from Requiem. This is Dies Irae from 1791. It's actually not as scary as the other Requiem stuff on here. Whatever. Moving on. Rondo alla Turca. Whatever. It's Piano Sonata number 11. Magic Flute. Loved You in the Fifth Element. Piano Concerto number 21. 1785. Now, something interesting about these Mozarts, if I look at the placement of them on the list, the overall list, you know, this is the third best, this is the whatever best, a lot of these Mozarts are just barely scraping in. For instance, the numbers associated with these Mozart tracks, their placement on the list, they're, I think, ordinal numbers. Third would be cardinal numbers, whatever, whatever. Anyway, are 3, 64, 82, 75, then 39, then 27, then 91, 87, 97, 43. Kind of all over the place. All right, Requiem, Lacrimosa, 87th place. Lacrimosa. You'll know this one. Mozart, still. This is from 1786. Marriage of Figaro Overture. Remember in Willy Wonka, when he enters the thingy on the keyboard to get into the room, And the history teacher sort of smugly says, Rachmaninoff. Yeah, it's Mozart. That's the joke. That is from The Marriage of Figaro Overture. And the last Mozart on this list, incidentally, in 97th place, Magic Flute Overture. All right, moving on to the O's. Offenbach is here, just to give us one little number, but it's number 10. Good God, way to go. Remember this? Offenbach. It's a song by Offenbach. Anyway, that's 1858, and it's a song called Infernal Gallop, from Orpheus in the Underworld, but that's Infernal Gallop. Bump, bump, Infernal Gallops, a song by Offenbach. Whatever. Hey, holy crap, Orf's here. Okay, all right. It's a little early in the morning. It's 8:08 in the morning as I recorded this, but we're going to listen to some Orf. Eighth place on this list. In 1936, Orf wrote a tune called O Fortuna. Carmina Burana. Got some tunes in that. That's O Fortuna. All right. So, I'm literally not even going to tell you. It's in sixth place, and it was written in 1694. Jesus, I didn't realize this was that old.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? Some say there's times you're allowed to hang those lights up on your house, and this isn't one of those times.
Yeah, that's Paco Bell, Canon Indy. Moving on. Peace out, Paco Bell. Way to go. 1694. I had no idea it was that old. All right, Ponchielli is here to turn you into someone else. This is number 17 on the list, and it's called Dance of the Hours. Now it's... Oh, this is the one with the singing puppy ad. I remember that, whatever. It's also Hello Mada, Hello Fada, here I am at Camp Granada. Yeah, whatever. What's funny is, in my head, it sounds more just like the 50s. It was like... The fabulous modern American home outfitted with all the modern conveniences. Whatever. Moving on. Now, this guy's on here twice. Prokofiev, Russian dude, one of the greatest 20th century composers. And you're going to know both of these. Prokofiev wrote Montagues and Capulets. This is from Romeo and Juliet. And also, in number 68 position on this list, he wrote Peter and the Wolf, The Story Begins. 36. He wrote this in 1936. This is from Peter and the Wolf, It's the Beginning Number. All right, let's do one Puccini. Just one. And it's a good one. Nessun Dorma. This is the song that everyone wins America's Got Talent for singing. Yeah, that's not the part. That's not the part that everyone recognizes. Hold on. I'm finding on YouTube. Here's we're looking at Pavarotti, by the way. That's Pavarotti singing this part. All right, come on. Get to it. Here we go. Pavarotti looks so thoughtful. Puccini. Peace out, Puccini. Hey, guess who's here? Rachmaninoff. That's a Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. That's the 18th variation, because Rachmaninoff was bored as hell. All right, let's move on. He only has one on here. Peace out, Rachmaninoff. Moving on to Ravel, one of the greatest French composers since Debussy. All right. Bolero. Fuck yeah, you know this one. Bolero by Ravel. 1928, he wrote that. Hey, Ricketts is here from a song in 1914 called Colonel Bogey March. Yeah, you might also know that as the Bridge on the River Kwai theme. You might also know it from Spaceballs, or, as I first heard it, you might know it for its lyrics from the Comet thing. It goes like this. Comet, it makes your mouth feel clean. Comet, it tastes like gasoline. Comet, it makes you vomit. So try some Comet and vomit today. Moving on. Ooh, Rimsky-Korsakov. Flight of the Bumblebee. Hold on a second. I'm going to learn more about this one. This is great. So let's see. Oh, this guy also wrote the Scheherazade suite, but it's not on this list. But Korsakov wrote Flight of the Bumblebee in 1900. Now, this is funny. There's one guy on here called Rosas. Doesn't give me a hint with the pronunciation, but he says he's Mexican, so probably Rosas. Whatever. And this, it's funny what he wrote about this one, so I'm just going to read it to you. Jose Juventino Policarpo Rosas Cadenas was a Mexican musician with a long-ass name. And this, it's called Over the Waves, is possibly the most famous song you know that you didn't know that you knew. Over the Waves. Thank you, Rosas. All right, now we're moving on. We got, I think, four Rossinis here. Rossini, sorry. Let's see here. We got The Barber of Seville. There's an opera that he wrote, and a lot of these are in it. Damn, this guy, Rossini. All right, let's start here. Thieving Magpie Overture. Thieving Magpie. Thieving, like taking things, stealing. Thief, thieving. Magpie, like the bird. Thieving Magpie. Cool. Whatever. Largo al factotum. You'll know this one. This is from Barber of Seville. This is Figaro, basically. Is Rossini. Figaro, 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 Figaro. Robin Williams, Mrs. Doubtfire. What up? Yeah, the other one from Rossini that we're going to hit real quick is Barber of Seville Overture. So this is just the theme. La 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 la. Rossini. And yeah, you can't get out of Rossini without hitting number 5 on the all-time melody list, Rossini's William Tell Overture.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not the part that people think about, though. This. Same thing. William Tell Overture, Rossini. Moving on. Now, Saint-Saëns is on here twice. Camille Saint-Saëns. This first one. They're both from Carnival of the Animals. This first one's called Aquarium, and the next one's called Finale. Both in 1886. So this is Aquarium from Saint-Saëns. And this is Finale. Also from Saint-Saëns. Also from Carnival of the Animals. Finale. All right. Ready for some Sousa? This is called Washington Post. Oh. I didn't know this. Sousaphones are called Sousaphones because of him. I probably should have known that. I'll probably be embarrassed that I'm saying this later. But yeah, that's John Philip Sousa. And you might know him for that, but you definitely know him for this. Stars and Stripes Forever, 1896. All right. Hi, what's up? Strauss. Hey, Strauss is here. Johann Strauss Jr., in fact. He had a famous dad, but he surpassed his father in popularity and became the Waltz King of Vienna, which is nothing compared to being the Sausage King of Chicago. I think this is the first thing on this list that I don't actually recognize, but that's called the Tritch Trotch Polka. And you'll definitely know him for this one, because it's number 7 on the damn list. And you'll know it from 2001. It's called Blue Danube. Or, oh, the beautiful Blue Danube. Now, his dad wrote the Radetzky March in 1848. And this has the dubious distinction. First of all, he got on the list. He got on the list, so way to go, Dad. At position 100 is the Radetzky March. Now, what's funny is, all four of those last four tunes, this one, and this one, and this one. Sorry, all three of those tunes are all by Strauss. And they're all by the Strauss family. And then so is this fourth one. And it's by an unrelated Strauss. Different guy, no relation, Richard Strauss. And what's really confusing is that this is also a song you'll know from 2001. Also, Sprach Zarathustra. I think it's Thus Spoke Zeus, or whatever. Thus also spoke Zeus, something. It's the theme from 2001. This half-hour tone poem begins with its most familiar part, called Dawn, Sunrise, or just Introduction, the theme to Stanley Kubrick's 1968-2001, used ever since to indicate the feeling of something happening on a grand scale. Richard Strauss, unrelated to the other guys. That's in position number 9. Way to go. Dude, the other Strausses suck compared to that. Oh, no, wait, hold on. Blue Danube went lower, so that's fine. Moving on. All right. We're coming down to the end of this list. Maybe 15 more tunes, but that's about it. Yeah, so Supé, just got one on here. Light Cavalry Overture. Supé. S-U-P-P-E. All right. And a lot of famous names on this list still to come, but this is our last big chunk of Wow, that guy had a lot of tongs. And it's Tchaikovsky. And Tchaikovsky has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He is matching Mozart on this list. So let's hit him one by one, starting with the Dance of the Mirlitons from the 1892 Nutcracker Suite. Mirlitons, Dance of the Mirlitons, also known as reed flutes. R-E-E-D flutes, reed, like a reed of, like a plant, reed flutes. Peace out, Tchaikovsky. All right, 1876, he wrote this scene from Swan Lake. Now, how's this for a thing? Tchaikovsky, Piano Concerto Number 1. Nah, not going to remember that one. All right, you know these. This is the Russian Dance from Nutcracker. Yeah, man, the Nutcracker, he's got like 7 songs on this list from the Nutcracker. Here's the Chinese Dance from Same. And this one. Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. It was in 1892. Ba-da-da-da-da. And the Nutcracker March. Now, last one from Nutcracker. This is called Waltz of the Flowers. Waltz of the Flowers. Right, cool. And from Romeo and Juliet, Fantasy Overture. Da-da, Fantasy Overture. Fantasy Overture. And just in case you were curious, number 2 on the list is the last of the Tchaikovskys. It is 1812. Ba-dum-bum-dum-bum-dum-bum, 1812. Bye, Tchaikovsky. And hello, nurse. No, Verdi, sorry. Verdi's here with La Donna Immobile. La Donna Immobile. Ba-ra-ra-boom-de-gay. Let's see if I can find more information on that. A famous opera piece, often parodied by wacky radio personalities. Rick Dees is on the air. Cool. The title. Thank you. The title means... damn it. Sorry. The title means Woman is Fickle. Okay. Peace out. Also, by Verdi, is the Anvil Chorus. Alright, now this is the other Requiem. This is Dies Irae by Verdi. There's also a Dies Irae by, who was it? Bach? It's one of the main guys, hold on. No, Mozart. Mozart has a Requiem Dies Irae that we've heard already. It sounds like this. Whatever. Yeah, this one, the Verdi Requiem Dies Irae, is the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. Sorry, there's a guy blowing fucking leaves right outside my window right now. At the only moment in the week where I'm recording my voice, he is also, at the only moment in this week, blowing things right outside my window. 8:30 in the morning. Sorry. We're almost done with this list. This is really annoying me. But this is Dies Irae by Verdi. Terrifying. And we're down to the last few names here. Two for Vivaldi. Four seasons, both of them. Spring and Winter are both on here. Written in 1723 by Vivaldi. Here is Spring. That's Spring, and here is Winter. That's cool. I don't think I actually know that, but that's awesome. And there's two Wagners on here. Obviously, you got this one. Ride of the Valkyries. La-ba-da-ba. And, of course, you've got the Bridal Chorus. Wagner wrote this shit. No, you're a Nazi. Wagner wasn't a Nazi. Taylor was a Nazi. Fun fact. And there are two names left, two tunes left, and this one is by... How the hell do you say that guy's name? Waldteufel, I guess. Emile Waldteufel. He's a French guy, known for his waltzes. He's a contemporary of the baby Strauss, Strauss Jr., who had all the good songs. Who his dad only had the one. And this is called the Skater's Waltz. And if you wouldn't know it, but we just listened to 99 tunes, and we've arrived at the very last one on our list, alphabetically, but I think it's fun. Number 50 on this list. Imperial March, John Williams, 1980. Way to go, Johnny. What's up? It's fitting that American film composer John Williams is last on this list, since he has ripped off, drawn inspiration from, most of the composers on this page. A brilliant composer in his own right, Williams is famous for his themes for Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, E.T., Close Encounters, Jurassic Park, Superman, Jaws, and Star Wars. And that's the end of the list. We have made it to the end of the top 100 classical... What was this list called? Classical music best most famous popular kick-ass list of melodies. Nice. So there you go. We'll do the top 10 again real quick just to round out this hour. So the number one on this list was Beethoven's Fifth. Beethoven's Fifth. Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik. Dreissamine, kleine Nachtmusik. Mozart, when he was just a child, was really kind of wild. Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor. Rossini's William Tell Overture, number 5. Of course, that also has the ending thing that is also very recognizable. Number 6, Pachelbel. Number 7, Strauss Jr.
I told you! Never call me the Blue Danube. Or Junior.
And Orff! Orff! Orff!
It's by Orff!
And then, Richard Strauss, who is a different Strauss, Number 9. Also, Sprock, Zarathustra, Kubrick, and 10, Infernal Gallop by Offenbach. Yeah, he's Offenbach, but sometimes not. Ba-dum-bum! Whatever. And just for funsies, number 11 would have been this. And this brings us to the end of an hour-long weird audio file that I have no use for. Thank you, kickassclassical.com, for providing me with this context. And thank you, me, for doing this for me, so I can listen to this and learn songs. Peace out! Wait, I need a song to go out on. What's a good song to go out on? We can do this. How about... Do you remember what this one was called? Birds. Stealing birds. Thieving Magpie by Rossini. Bye, y'all.